Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome on over. Another episode of Speak the Truth Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Tardio. And Iran reportedly has another explosion that took place over in Isfahan that is coming out of Iran International. I have yet to find any actually like confirmed on the ground intelligence that is backing that up. Any civilians that are posting videos on it, things like that. To me, it's a little bit suspect that, I don't want to say this, that it didn't actually happen. I just don't see it right now. I don't know why they are saying that that's actually going on. So, but that is what the reports are saying, and we're going to get into that here in just a little bit. While I'm waiting on everybody to roll in here, I want to show you guys this video. Check this out. This is a brand new explosion video coming out of the port, and it's slow mode, and man, does it look good. Yeah, buddy, there's no sound to it, but holy cow, does that look good to me? I don't know about you guys. I freaking love it. I think it looks absolutely amazing. Like, just beautiful. Just a beautiful detonation. And what I love about it is you can see these factories being ripped apart. Excuse me, these storage warehouses. Now, these storage warehouses down here, I ended up seeing some, like, close-up pictures that all kind of went away after this detonation. And it looked like they were storing, like, some larger bags of ammonium nitrate inside and or more sodium perchlorate. But no idea. But either way, watch this. This is just cool. Yeah, it's freaking rad. That is a good shot, right? You can't tell me that's not freaking amazing. I love that video. That is just an amazing freaking slow-mo capture of all of that crap going down. Silly reports are now circulating online as well that a U.S. F-18 fighter jet somehow fell off aircraft carrier, the USS Harry Truman, injuring a service member over inside of the Red Sea. Now, all of your pro-Palestinian accounts are going to tell you that this U.S. aircraft carrier just magically it decided to turn so sharply to dodge a Houthi missile or Houthi anti-ship ballistic missile that the freaking F-18 ended up falling off the side of the ship. That's just not the case. That's not how these things work. That's not how it goes down. It's absolutely ridiculous. Adore the Wholesome says, I tagged you about Rich's fat boy thing in general. Oh, thank God. You got to love that. For those of you guys that don't know what Adore is talking about, Adore is specifically talking about Angry Cops or Richard Highhue. I'm going to be honest. I should probably learn how to pronounce his last name. Either way, he ended up getting himself in the news because he's reporting on things that are going down over in the Buffalo school system, where they are just allegedly refusing to own up to, how do you want to say, child sexual assaults and child abductions, and are not cooperating with law enforcement and several other things. It doesn't look good. It's pretty bad. And I freaking hate them that they're going through that. So I'm going to see if I can't figure out what Adara ended up tagging me in that. But my feed is already filled with a ton of freaking crap. It's absolutely insane. Just way too much. So no, sorry, I can't find that for you. But let's keep going down the chain. Now, this over inside the United States, I'm going to take you guys back to the U.S. here. And I want to show you guys what's taking place in Dearborn, Michigan. Because Dearborn, as you guys know, is a freaking cesspool. And over inside of Dearborn, Michigan,
the message for the people of Gaza is going to be more of the message that should be sent to the people here, in that they have achieved victory. We haven't done anywhere near enough. And the people here, I promise you, we do feel ashamed. We do feel like we're not doing enough. We do feel like change needs to come, because change must come. And in the form that it must come is that this empire, the American empire, that's been hurting our people since the beginning, the imperial Western powers that have been hurting our people since the beginning, they must fall. And inshallah, they will fall. And my message to the people of Gaza and the oppressed peoples across the world is that there are people here, both young and old, who are going to be willing to fight and are willing to put their lives and everything they can on the line to bring these empires down, because they must come down.
Well, isn't that cute? Now, I noticed something about, like, the way this particular gentleman talks. Number one, hey, good job with your token, like, what do you want to call it, white chick that feels like she owes the rest of the world something over anything. Adora says, most recent chat and Discord server gen chat. Okay, perfect, thanks. But, you know, the way he ends up saying that, and he brings up Gaza with a perfect English accent, kind of reminds me of something that I came across yesterday. And it was something very, very earlier. Now that I'm rolling through this, I'm like, dear God, before we move on, I have to show this to you guys before we get any further. Here it is. This is what I want to show.
Name on TV. Whether or not the anchor is Hispanic, we suddenly have to shapeshift into a perfect Hispanic accent. Police arrested 25-year-old Ilan Alain Sanchez. And I mean that honestly, why do we do that? When I say Alejandro Mayorkas, I just say Alejandro Mayorkas. But on CNN, it's Alejandro Mayorkas. I'm Irish. When police arrest someone with an Irish name, I don't say police just arrested 25-year-old Charlie McLaughlin. I just say police arrested Charlie McLaughlin. Like, stop that. Stop. And it's for all of these reasons and everything that I just mentioned that America elected Donald Trump in 2016 and then elected Donald Trump.
I don't want to get into that. I just thought like that whole skit was absolutely hilarious. It's called virtue signaling. And that's exactly what the guy in the last clip just did when he goes, Gaza, and I absolutely hate it. Because they'll sit there and they'll run their mouths. And it just, it's like, because you say Gaza, all of a sudden your word has more meaning. No, it doesn't. Absolutely not. Nobody gives a crap. What about it? What were you watching? That was a clip from Newsmax. All right. Present. And the SecDef. First of all, SecDef has been in the news quite a bit. Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth. There's a lot of rumors that, you know, Pete was going to get fired. He was going to go away. And I don't know where all of this crap continues to come from other than a poor leak. And that leak has been identified. And it turns out he's a little bit disgruntled. Now, White House has been very strongly backing Pete Hegseth. Check this out.
The president has made his position on Secretary Hegseth quite clear. He absolutely has confidence in the secretary's ability to lead the Pentagon. It's why he nominated him for this position. It's why the Senate voted to confirm him in this position. And look at the success that DOD has had thus far. Their successful operation against the Houthi terrorists in the Middle East. You look at the recruitment and retention levels for all branches of our armed forces.
Holy cow. By the way, we're going to look at the recruitment levels for the United States military as well today because they are through the freaking roof. I mean, the last couple of years, we've had quite literally a recruiting crisis that I ended up talking about over here. Matt, can you disconnect your AirPod mic, please? My AirPod mic is not turned on, friend.
Are on the incline, which is exactly what this president intended to do.
Amazing, simply amazing. I don't want to say this. The military supports the SecDef, and the numbers inside of the military absolutely are freaking getting there. I said that I would end up showing this to you guys. Let me grab it real quick. I think I grabbed it. Here we are. Here's those recruiting numbers. Check this out. All right. So February of 24, they only achieved 94.2% of their goal. This year, 115% of the goal was achieved inside of the United States Army. When we go over and we take a look at the Navy, they ended up achieving 104%. Look at that. Across the board, everybody ended up achieving their goals. Simply amazing. The Navy last year, however, only achieved 66% of their recruiting goal. This year, it's up to 104.7. It's almost like bombing the crap out of a freaking foreign terror organization gets people to want to join the military. At least that's my thought process on it. And Pete Hegseth actually ended up putting this out first thing this morning. I had to go back and actually look up what the hell this was. He said, this morning, I proudly ended the Women's Peace and Security, or WPS. WPS is yet another woke division social justice Biden initiative that overburdens our commanders and troops, distracts them from core, blah, 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 blah. At the end of the day, he says, good riddance, WPS. So what the hell was WPS and what did it do? Again, I had to actually go look this crap up and figure out exactly what it did. WPS, let's see here, three main lines of effort. Institutionalized WPS in DOD policy, doctrine, workforce, and management. Integrate gender analysis into operational planning, exercises, contingency, and partner missions. And engage partners to boost women's roles in foreign security forces and peacekeeping and to improve protection practices. That's like me forcing the NFL to take on women because I think it would be good for the NFL. It's absolutely ridiculous, and it makes quite literally no sense. Here is another view on the SecDef and what people are saying about them.
Yes. Numbers speak for themselves. We've got a strong and focused military. They're focused on why people join the military, which is defending our country, not some woke ideology, not some empire building excursion all over the world, but focused on America first and foremost. That's what inspires people. You know, I enlisted in the Army after high school. Of course, the Cold War was going on then. It was a long time ago. And then I ultimately got the chance to go to West Point and become an Army officer, serve in Range Regiment and other great things. I didn't do those things to help build an empire. I did them to defend my country. And when you see Pete Hegseth's leadership focusing our military on those things, people are responding and they're energized by his focus.
Yeah, no kidding. You know why? Because historically, the vast majority of the military has been conservative. And so obviously, you got to speak to the conservative base. Now, down on the southern border, a whole other freaking story of what's going on down there. This freaking blew my mind. Listen to what she has to say.
The president immediately declared a national emergency on the southern border, deployed the U.S. military and border patrol to repel the invasion, and ended reckless catch and release policies. The results have been nothing short of extraordinary. Between President Trump's inauguration and April 1 of this month, only 9 illegal aliens were released into the United States, a staggering 99.99% decrease from the more than 184,000 illegal aliens who were released into the country under Biden during the same period last year.
And why does she call them illegal aliens? Because they cross the border illegally, and then when Border Patrol picks them up, they claim asylum. That was their go-to catchphrase, and we just basically would take them all in. It was so bad. I remember watching those videos of them coming across the border, and CBP, and we showed it here on this channel, CBP just quite literally, how do I want to say this? Quite literally would just grab the people, and they wouldn't even run because they knew they were going to get released. They would just stand there and they'd line up, and CBP would just kind of stand there and watch them all freaking usher across the border. And that is a big issue here in the United States of America when we have now multiple gangs that, or cartels, if you will, that are considered foreign terrorist organizations. All right. So we've got a shit ton of terrorists that come to the United States, and we're worried about having more foreign terrorists coming in from the Middle East as well.
And Border Patrol, in collaboration with the Department of Defense and the great state of Texas, have deployed 75 additional miles of temporary barriers across the southern border. And Border Patrol in
Okay, so 75 additional freaking miles worth of the border has been secured by the DOD. That's freaking nuts. That accounts for all of those different strikers and everything else out there. And again, when we talk about terrorism here in the United States, this is one of our major concerns. National Counterterrorism Center, and you guys check out the date here, April 29th, 2025. All right, National Counterterrorism Center has identified nearly 1,200 alleged terrorists illegally in the United States of America. That is freaking shocking. As directed by the order of the SecDef, and so on and so forth, they were all tasked with taking necessary actions in order to enforce it. On February 6th, Marco Rubio formalized FTO designation and went after all these terrorists, which is why that guy ended up getting deported out of the country that all the liberals are fighting against. Gabbard emphasized that in addition to implementing the order, the NCTC is working to improve federal vetting process. We are also working to ensure those who enter our country are vetted through a single source, as well as those who already entered our country illegally. She explained that this approach will streamline process to prevent terrorists from entering our country, determine who's already in our country, identify those posing a threat, and to remove them. That's very important because, as I talked about on this channel before, if you are inside of the United States of America illegally and you have claimed asylum, but you are a terrorist, your asylum no longer counts. You are immediately subject to deportation. You will go before an immigration judge, and they will likely deport your butt. Why? Because only in very, very limited cases of terrorists here in the United States of America do you get to stay. As I've compared it before in the past, we don't allow members of ISIS to stay in the United States of America just because they want to claim asylum. No, no, no. That is absolutely redonkulous. Why would we ever do that? So the same thing goes for MS-13 or any of these other new foreign terror organizations here in the United States of America. They all got to go home. They all got to go bye-bye. It doesn't matter if you cross the border illegally and then claimed asylum, you're out. Now, moving on over to the freaking incidents, or excuse me, the like war that's starting to heat up in between India. Get out of here, you. Boom. Between India, all right, and Pakistan. Over on the border, there is now confirmed reports of clashes. It looks like the Pakistan military has been shooting. Incog Faraday coming in, gives now five Speak the Truth memberships. Appreciate you, brother. It looks like the Pakistan military has indeed been shooting at the Indians. And I've got a video of them actually, I don't even know how I want to say this, slamming the crap out of them. I think slamming the crap out of them is a new one. Pakistan Army linked accounts released footage showing strikes on two Indian outposts in Kashmir's Lipa sector. All right, so we do have what appears to be border clashes that are taking place. Check that out. Pretty freaking wild, right? No sound in this video. That's all you get. This is what you get. This is the reporting that's coming out of Pakistan saying that they actually started to heat up again. Always last in line coming in. We're about to jump over and talk about Iran here in just a second as well. Always last in line. Dude, greatly appreciate you coming in, gifting out a Speak the Truth membership. I want to make sure I didn't miss any super chats while this video is sitting here playing on loop. Junior James ended up becoming a true supporter. Good to have you on board. Castle Survival, who's been a member for 10 months, says, hey, Matt, been a while, lost my job again, and now on the hunt. I took some time for myself, but I'm glad to be back. Gonna do a devotional today. Yeah, you know what? I need to get back into doing that. I fell off from doing devotionals again. Sarge coming in says, deport him. Tara says, most recent chat in Discord. Oh, that's right. Adara, we'll go back and we'll get after that. I tagged you about Rich's fat boy policy in general. Let's go take a look at the Discord and see what's up over there. Hot diggity, I can't wait. Yeah, that is correct. Adara, you are correct in that statement. I believe I actually put that out on the first day. That was the description. But he did say, come here, fat boy, when he ended up calling the guy over. And that is what they ended up getting him. It's all very loose. And I think this whole thing with Rich or Angry Cops is going to kind of turn in, I don't know how to say this, turn into a bit of a freaking problem for the Buffalo School District, as well as the District Attorney's Office, and probably the Attorney General as well. Now, this picture right up here on your screen was circulating online, and it was coming out of, let me get it up on the map, Isfahan over inside of Iran. So now we're going to shift focus. We're going to come back over to Iran, and we're going to go in this general region, and you're going to see this place right here in the center of Iran called Isfahan. Now, this is kind of important because this is also where the Iranian government likes to stash, I don't know, some of its nuclear weapons potentially, right? It is a bit of a problem. And so now when we get reports of an explosion coming out of Isfahan, everybody wants to pay very, very close attention to it. Let's take a look and see what they had to say. The only reliable report that I could find coming out of there, and I use the term reliable very, very loosely, and the reason is because this comes from Iran International. You got to understand that Iran International is very anti-Iran. It's a UK-based news agency. Tom Bone says, it was funny last night when the stream cut out after a minute of buffering, you repeatedly said their SOBs 10 times. Oh, really? That's funny. Oh, gosh. Yeah, so Iran International, ladies and gentlemen. Iran International is quite literally, it's like an anti-Iran freaking paper. It's so bad that the IRGC thinks it's a terror organization. They had like a broadcast that was scheduled, I want to say it was like last year, and they had to switch broadcast location or interview location because the IRGC basically, they had a credible threat that the IRGC was going to attack it. I went through this entire article and I was not able to find a source that was actually quoted on it, but they do say that two people were killed in the explosion at the Avanar Parjan Chemical Industries warehouse over in Isfahan province. So whether or not it is like reliable, again, I honestly, I couldn't tell you. It looks like here it says screen grab from straight media footage showing the aftermath of the explosion of the warehouse in Isfahan on 29 April 2025. So there you go. There's your one screen grab of allegedly what the Iranian media ended up saying. That doesn't look like such a massive blast to me on this one, but it wouldn't surprise me if this did, in fact, end up occurring. We have seen numerous times over the last freaking, I don't know, 72 hours. Numerous times over the last 72 hours, we had the port down in, let me get this up on the screen. We had the port all the way down here in the south in Bandar Abbas that ended up exploding, all right, with the perchlorate, sodium perchlorate. Now, interesting as well that goes into that, the allegedly, what I read over on CNN today is that the Iranian government actually came out and claimed responsibility for it and ended up saying that it was because of mishandling of all of the freaking chemicals and shit that they had. So they're saying that was a mishandling incident. Then, all right, up over inside of Tehran the following evening, we ended up seeing two separate fires that were occurring, and I ended up reporting on those. One for sure looked like it was at another freaking chemical storage site, as far as I'm concerned. There was another one at a different bus stop. Now, it is of note that when those fires yesterday occurred, it was allegedly National Transportation Day, and that there was resistance groups, things of that nature, that were supposedly responsible for it, or at least that's what they were trying to claim. But now, today, over inside of Isfahan, we're getting separate reports that are coming out. And again, when I say separate, I mean that's the only thing that I'm getting coming out of there. I found no other reliable source. Hopefully, there is some other information that ends up putting that out. If I go over the article and we actually pull this sucker up on the screen, let's see if we can actually find it real quick as we're doing this. Just out of sheer curiosity, I want to see if this plant actually exists, because I failed to do that earlier. It says it ended up coming out of there. Where'd that plant go? I just had it. I had it right up over here on top. There it is. Let's see if we can't find that on Google Maps. I have no idea if that's actually going to pop up. I would be really shocked if it did, to be honest, but it would be kind of cool. Yep. So there is a couple of those over there. Parsian Chemical Industries. So there is a couple of them. Parsian Chemical Plant. There's a couple of them. And what they're saying is that this place is linked to the government, and particularly responsible for production of black powder. They say that it has the guise of fireworks and that it is a fireworks factory. But they say that there's links and connections to the Iranian government and so on and so forth. Now, I did want to show you that one picture, and this is the first reason why I was like, I don't know about that. All right. And the reason I say, I don't know about that is because this is the first picture that ended up getting reported for this frickin' plant. And this is what was circulating all around online. But the funny part is, if you actually go over and you search that image on Google Images, it doesn't take long to figure it out. It actually comes out of Turkey from all the way back in 2023. And I don't read Turkish and I don't care, but there you can see this frickin' image right up here on your screen, the same one that's circulating around on social media with the claims that it's taking place over inside of Iran. So that to me is what the problem is. Here you go. July 8th, 2023, right there on the screen. Let me zoom in on that sucker. There you go. There's the date for that, that image ended up coming out on. So I question the validity of it, and I always have to, unfortunately, when it comes to everything that's coming out of frickin' Iran. But even Visegrad 24, numerous people that I would consider reliable sources are claiming that it did happen. But again, nobody is actually citing anything other than that original source, which to me is very one-sided against Iran. And so I'm not 100% sure whether or not it's reliable. I'm sure more information is going to come out today. Now, here is what actually is getting put out by the Khan news outlet. I'm going to take you guys now from over inside of Iran. We're going to clear that off the screen. Khan news outlet is reporting that over inside of Gaza, and I actually find this to be quasi-credible, based on everything that we had talked about. Obviously, we had the IDF that had moved into the Gaza Strip, and they had cut off right over here. They had dropped in a brand new corridor, cutting off Rafah from Khan Yunis. And then we had them move up over and around over on the inside. Now, what is being reported is that the reservists allegedly are going to be getting told it is time to go. So they're taking them and ramping up the reservists. That's pretty freaking cool. So I've got reports of the reservists. They're getting ramped up and ready to go. Obviously, a bunch of them were already activated and getting told to get pulled up and so on and so forth. We had the IDF cut off Rafah. Now we're getting reports that the IDF is currently inside Rafah and rapidly clearing it. And I'm getting videos also from the Al-Qassam brigades that are now coming out showing Israeli troops getting shot. That's pretty freaking wild. I hear people telling me to fix my audio.
Now we're getting reports that the IDF is currently inside Rafah and rapidly clearing it. And
it sounds good on my end, so I don't know what you guys are complaining about. It's almost like you guys don't like my freaking audio. I don't know. Do you guys? Maybe I'll play with it some more and see if you guys are going to complain about it. At the end of the day, people are always going to complain about my audio on this channel. It's freaking wild. I can never get it just right for you guys. Yeah, everybody's saying it's fine. It's all good. Thank you guys. Barely can hear old Matthew. Really? Well, I am pushing out on this end what looks and appears to be a decent amount. I can turn it up a little bit more for you if you'd really like. I'll tell you what, I can blast that sucker if that makes you feel any better, but that's where the limiter's set at minus 5 decibels. You know how? Because I made sure it was there so it didn't blow your dang eardrums out. So, Rafa, yeah, let's talk about this for a hot minute, because the IDF, it looks like, is moving into Rafa. I've got several different freaking reports, and we're going to talk about why they're clearing it out. Let me get this up. Nope, that's not the one that I wanted. Let me see here. So, videos, this is the only one that I could find, and there's really no point of having the volume playing on this one. Ears warning. This video has been circulating around online saying that this has came out of Rafa, and they're saying that the whole place is being demolished, leveled, everything else, that the IDF is moving to rapidly clear it. Reports of contact, things like that, a little bit staggering from time to time, but for the most part, it looks like the IDF has begun to clear out Rafa, at least the outskirts, but it looks like they're moving in order to do so. Now, why would they do that? Why is the IDF going in there? If you guys remember what I told you about the clearing operation that needs to take place. In this clearing operation, all right, as they're going about it, because their goal is to frickin', let me get that back up, their goal is to frickin' kill all of Hamas. And from what we've seen so far, it doesn't look like they are warning on the airstrikes that are taking place inside Gaza. I also believe that if they are going to completely and totally dismantle Hamas now, which they claim they're going to do, that they can't be doing it the exact same way that they did it last time. I believe that they actually have to continue to push and push hard in order to do that, right? And so what they're saying is that by clearing out Rafa, let me get this back up, by clearing out Rafa and getting that set up, just like I had prophesized, that they're going to use it for a holding area for all of the Palestinian civilians, right, that choose not to fight them. Yeah. So they're going to take all of the Palestinian civilians and they're going to shove them into Rafa. That's what the word on the street is. And it makes sense. I talked about this before. You have a nice freaking border crossing area in two different ways in order to get people out. People have been getting flown out of Rafah as long as they have a family member with a valid visa / sponsorship form in another country, then they're good to go. Rob Rouse says, I wanted to thank you to everyone who donated and helped me when I really needed it. I love each and every one of you. Thank you, Matt. Just got my first paycheck. Woo woo. Hell yeah, Bob. That's amazing, man. That's good. I'm happy, dude. That's why I love this community, man. Like the when stuff needs done, it just gets done. I went over, validated it, checked it out, put it out on X, and then before you know it, that $1,000 ended up getting filled. So that was pretty awesome. I did see that you needed a little bit more, but did the best that I can do. I try not to push too much of that stuff out, but once it was validated and we were good to go, yeah, it ended up happening. So thanks, Bob. Greatly appreciate your donation today. And hope that everything goes good for you and your fam, that you guys are well taken care of. That's what this community is all about. We love that community. Oh, did he get his truck going? Well, he said that his truck has a couple issues. I think it was like a new head gasket or something like that it needs. Sergeant says, volume is fine, just a little muffled and not crisp. I will work on the crispness here in just a little bit after I end up getting off. IDF ended up putting out this as well. These are all of the terrorists. It said, well, not all of them, some of the terrorists that ended up getting killed this last week. Mustafa al-Matwak, operations officer in Hamas, Jabalia Brigade, who led terrorist attacks against the IDF in Gaza, another terrorist in the Palestine Popular Front, and Hamas Nukba terrorists in the Dirabala Brigade, who infiltrated and took part in the massacre in Kusafim on October 7th. All those major players ended up getting taken out over inside Gaza, even inside of the minimum combat operations. Dara says, almost forgot, Buffalo School District streams all their meetings and uploads them, but interestingly, didn't stream the one about what AC stated on Unsubscribe podcast. No kidding. They didn't feel like streaming that one, huh? Tom Bone says, it was funny last night. Oh, yeah. Sorry, Tom. I already read that one. Yep, I just went back and forth on repeat over and over and over over there. Yeah, I believe that one. Oh, weird. This one got taken down. Interesting. So the video that I had of the Al-Qassam Brigade sniper actually ended up getting taken down. Weird that that happened. Check this out. Now, for people that are complaining, saying that the IDF is just randomly destroying buildings to destroy buildings, that they should have saved it or they should have done something, that's absolutely ridiculous. The amount of freaking concrete waste that is going to be over inside of Gaza is absolutely insane. Pretty much every single member of the IDF that I have talked to has told me that there are major concerns about every single building being rigged or booby-trapped from the guys that are on the ground doing the clearing operations. What I've heard is that if it's not a booby-trapped building, then they have weapons caches. If it's not weapons caches, then they end up having freaking other crap, right? Like, it's just always inside of these buildings, there's something. And people that don't understand how deeply ingrained Hamas is over into the Gaza Strip, you really need to freaking get a hold of it. Oh, no, that camera's gone. You really need to get a hold of yourself. When you're talking about Hamas, you're talking about intelligence estimates pre-war 40,000. All right, multiply times 10 for just direct support network will give you 400,000. Population estimate right around 2 million to 2.1 million, which we know we had 100,000 that ended up like leaking out and making their way over to Cairo. So either way, you're looking at about 25% of the population at least that directly supports Hamas. That's absolutely insane. Lunchbox coming in at 10 bucks. Hey, Matt, would you mind giving a shout out to American Bin Blasters, veteran owned DFW trash can cleaning? Oh, that's freaking cool. Tell them Brian sent you. Every sign up helps my paycheck. Hell yeah. So if you're over in the DFW region, veteran owned company, American Bin Blasters, you want your freaking trash cans cleaned out? Lunchbox says to let them know that Brian sent you. Do him a favor. Go get your trash cans cleaned, I guess. Audio's fine. Thank you, GYS. Gaza will be a nice gravel parking lot. Right. So what do we think is going to happen moving forward? Well, it would appear that everything over inside of Iran, despite all of this crap, is deteriorating. I went on Real America's Voice with Jake Novak this morning and ended up discussing this. For some reason, when you listen to the news, when you listen to the White House, every single word that ends up coming out of there says that everything over in the Middle East is just going to be fine. We are really close, according to Donald Trump, actually what he said was he believes that we're going to be able to have some sort of a peaceful solution to this. The problem is Iran's refusing to give up their freaking centrifuges for spinning up uranium. Now, that is the sticking point for the United States of America, and that is the sticking point for Israel. If Iran doesn't give up their centrifuges, then there's going to be war. It might not be with the United States of America, but Israel is still not off the table. The U.S. has continued to increase blasting the crap out of the Houthis. I shared some really good videos the other day down out of freaking Yemen, all right, of where we had the merchant vessels that were traveling through and took videos along the coastline of a bunch of crap getting bombed. We haven't let up on them yet. We're still bombing the crap out of them on a daily basis. For some reason, we're not hearing about it. I'd really like to know why the EU isn't talking about this more. Where's the EU in all of this? Because they stand to gain a lot when it comes to their economy just from this opening back up. Very, very interesting that everybody is kind of quiet on this entire situation. Over inside of Ukraine and Russia, yep, pretty much looks like everything fell through. Why? Because Vlad ended up coming out and stating when he ended up meeting up with Witkoff that that they're not going to give up any of the land that they have. Like, in a nutshell, they're not going to give up any of their land. All right, the freaking Russians do not want to give up anything. And that means that that has fallen through. That means that those negotiations have completely and totally deteriorated as far as I'm concerned. When Iran doesn't want to give up its centrifuges, negotiations have deteriorated. When Russia is not willing to compromise, negotiations have deteriorated. Now we're at this freaking tipping point, which is what's going to happen. Of course, in several days here, allegedly in just a couple days, we are looking at having the final countdown to the days when we told Iran, when Trump sent his letter to Iran, allegedly all the way back on April 5th is when he ended up sending the letter. Rumor is that it didn't get to the Ayatollah until the 11th of April. And so they're like, okay, so we got 60 days. Lavrov, thank you, Gibson. Thank you, Lavrov. Yeah, volume Nazis. Everybody got to be a volume Nazi. Lavrov. So Iran and Russia are in cahoots, obviously, and neither of them are coming to the negotiation table. What's that mean? Well, that means the U.S. is likely to continue to fund Ukraine. The other thing that Lavrov ended up coming out stating was that they can't be joining NATO and that we have to stop weapons shipments to them and all sorts of other freaking crap. None of that's realistic possibility. It's just not. Russia doesn't get to invade another country and try to tell Ukraine that they're not allowed to join NATO. That's not how that works. They also don't get to tell the United States and Ukraine what we can and can't do when it comes to common military munitions. Just because ours happen to be more advanced, happens to piss Russia off a little bit, that's not my problem. But when we start talking about what Russia's been doing with Iran, and we start talking about what Russia is doing in the Middle East, well, it's a bit of a problem. I don't know if you guys saw the Sean Ryan podcast the other day that ended up having on the member from Wagner Group, from when the U.S. Special Forces ended up schwacking a crap load of them over inside of Syria. Russian government just let it happen. We also know for a fact that the Russians have a decent military presence over inside of Syria. Imagine that. I saw other news about the genocide and everything else coming over in Syria. And to be perfectly honest with you, Jelani's trying to claim that he's coming around. He's trying to play the good guy. And I think over inside of Syria is going to be our next issue. Again, U.S. forces reports still that U.S. forces have been pulling out of Syria and making their way back over into Iraq. Now, all of that is likely because we end up having good Patriot defense systems that are over inside of Iraq and likely didn't have a bunch of coverage over in Syria, nor would we move them over inside of there as well. So those U.S. forces are able to then go get undercover from those Patriot batteries in the probability that Iran launches some sort of ICBM at Israel. Now, I think when Israel does start its major freaking clearing operation over inside of Gaza, that's what's going to trigger Iran, because they're already up, like, i.e. they are that dang close now to going in. I think that it is just a matter of days, and that lines up directly with Trump's freaking deadline form. So we're basically just sitting and waiting and seeing. Situation over between Pakistan and India, we'll see how all of this turns out. United States government did come out, surprisingly, shouldn't shock anybody, that we're going to continue to support India in this conflict. Imagine that. Who would have thought with the vice president's wife that we would be supporting India?
I don't know.
Anyways, let's get back over and go back. So that, ladies and gentlemen, in a nutshell, is everything that we have. I'm going to go over the Discord and take some questions from you guys in the Discord. If you guys want to jump up into the Discord, I will meet you over there in just one sec. I love hearing the freaking volume deniers in the house that are telling me that they can't hear me. You guys always make me smile. And we are in, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to go ahead and turn the camera on so you guys can see me over in the Discord. Nope. Got to turn it off and then turn it back on again, maybe. Hold on, wait. If you guys are jumping into the Discord, you want to come up, you want to have a chitty chat, come on over there. I'm in right now. More than willing to have you guys up on stage. Kind of curious to hear from Texas. Haven't heard from him in a while. So hopefully we do hear back from Texas, because that would be kind of nice. Look at everybody rolling in here. Love you guys. If any of you guys want to come up on stage to speak about anything that we have gone over, you're more than welcome. That goes to the situation with angry cops all the way down to Iran, what's taking place over inside of Gaza, what's taking place over inside of Yemen as well. Alaskan Assassin, no trolling this time. Never complain about the audio, but it's great even today. Freaking amazing. Love that. All right, guys, go ahead and come on up in here. Let's see. Looks like we've already got comments that are rolling through. Texas is in the house. What's up, brother? Yep, Texas is having problems today as well. Wouldn't you know that? Texas is having issues. There he is. Texas, can you hear me, friend?
I can hear you. I was just deafened and I didn't realize.
No, it's okay. How's life?
Life is great. Wonderful. Summer's coming. Weather's out. Like, sun is out. Weather's beautiful. Russians are still getting their shit kicked in. Just the usual.
Yeah. Is everybody pretty much under the understanding over inside of Ukraine that the peace negotiations are kaput?
I mean, I don't know. Like, I the last few weeks, I really, like, just decided I'm going to take a little bit of a, like, let me just watch what's going to happen. I'm not going to try to dive in about this, because I was stressing about certain things too much, and I was like, eh. Because, like, it doesn't really make a difference, because we know Ukraine isn't going to do things that Russia wants them to do. We know, right. Russia isn't going to change their mind about the things that they want. Whatever, can we just skip to the ice cream? You know what I mean? Like,
well, I brought that up a while ago, man. You know, if we're going to sit here and we're going to, you know, go back and forth, and we're going to claim that this land is worth so many people, Russia's using freaking WMDs, why the hell not just open up the floodgates and freaking put one in there? Like, you know what I mean? Just send it.
I don't know. I just think that Russia knows they're at the point. Like, how low does Putin have to be to come up on camera and say, just after they said they're not negotiating with these terms, without these terms being done by Ukraine, and then the next day come up on camera saying that he wants to do a 3-day ceasefire, ultimate all around ceasefire when the parade is going on in Russia, because he knows Ukraine has the capabilities to smack that.
Correct.
And he also knows, and he also knows that even if he puts his best air defense, when you like numbers will eventually, if one out of 20 get through, that one still got through. And he knows that, and he knows he's at a point where, like, he doesn't really have the leverage. To what is he gonna do? Like, what is he gonna do? Hide? He's not gonna hide. So like, he's trying to pull this, like, oh look, I'm asking for a ceasefire, and then Zelensky just responded right away. He's like, you want a ceasefire? No problem. Start today. 30 days from today. Don't give me when you want it. Mm-hmm. Why for those 3 days? So I don't know. I'm just gonna sit back and watch. I can tell you one thing: fighting hasn't slowed down. We're at a point in life where it's normal that the North Koreans officially, actually, like publicly stated for the first time that yes, they have soldiers in actual combat.
Correct.
With Russia, government, Putin, people, and including Putin, for the first time since North Koreans were involved, officially acknowledged that. So, and what? The rest of the world are like okay with it, or are we gonna wake up and realize? And then today, I saw a really good article where somebody said, like, if you wanna, like, if the United States is dealing with a few problems right now, it's the Houthis, it's Yemen. It's the conflict in Israel with Hezbollah and Hamas. You have all these problems. Is the one thing that can really, really make all of those problems not quite go away, but ultimately almost impossible to be effective? Is by actually fucking Russia up. Sorry for my language. I'm on the YouTube. I didn't even realize. But yes.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Because Russia is the supplier supplies Iran with certain capabilities. Iran supplies Russia. Mm-hmm. Iran supplies the Yemenis. Yemenis fuck with the U.S. Sorry for my language again. I'm just on the... And then you have the
good. Just demonetize my video. I was doing great. I was doing great. Just demonetize the entire video.
I'm so sorry. It's just that day. It's really hot out. But I understand all of that. And I think for the most part, like, you have these people, even on the Republican side, people that are very pro-Trump are like starting to say, hey, maybe Trump needs to have a couple of other people telling him facts.
I would agree.
Like, I think that people don't realize how much that 15-minute in-person conversation without anybody around, Zelensky and Trump, made a difference in Trump's understanding of certain things.
Right. Well,
we both know they didn't have a translator, and we both know that Zelensky has a bad English, but he knows enough to be able to hold a conversation. And he does that with a lot of world leaders in English. So if Trump, I think this was the first time that Trump sat with Zelensky anywhere alone and listened to what Zelensky said.
I personally think that Trump and Zelensky have been playing games with everybody's emotions. I think that a lot of the stuff that they've been talking about is because they just don't want Russia to be aware of what's going on. And so disinformation has to continue. If Ukraine is going to be getting lots of weapon shipments, I just saw the other day, you know, I showed it, a Ukrainian transport plane that was over here in Arizona picking up more crap to be heading back over to frickin' Ukraine. Again, 80-ish billion U.S. dollars freed up from previously approved funds more than likely are all going to be going into the military-industrial complex to be sending Ukraine more supplies. And that is a buttload of freaking equipment. And I haven't heard one peep about it moving. And the crazy part about it is Trump could put a stay on it for, I think it's like 90 days or something, but that's about it, right? Other than that, it's got to move. And they've been pretty hush-hush on it, to be honest. Mineral deal signed, right? Last I checked, I think I did see that there was a little bit of a problem on it. I do want to address this comment over here. Nava Zimmerman ended up saying, if Iran attacks, do you think Trump will smack back? Yeah, 100%. I think he will.
I don't think he's going to wait. I think if he's going to have that information that there's an imminent, like an actual, like they're moving launchers into position for whatever, mm-hmm. I think he's going to give the order to smack him first.
Like, I would agree. Just
the type of, like, he obviously he's doing that with the Houthis, because we've been playing mm-hmm. with the Houthis for over like what, 2 years now, defensive game, shoot at me, I'll catch it, I'll shoot it down and have a good day. And now they're actually like making sure they're actually smacking, like they've done more airstrikes in Yemen than they did for a very long time in any conflict. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I think that Russia just needs to get smacked right in the face.
And I would agree.
Then a lot of the problems will start falling apart.
I would agree. And I think if Russia gets freaking slapped, all of this is going to calm down. You know, we talk about Iran being the main driving factor over inside the Middle East, but the truth of it is that Russia is the driving factor behind Iran. They're the ones that have been giving them the backing. And every single time Russia and Iran have some sort of a new agreement, new deal, it looks like Iran just ramps up its freaking rhetoric. I also find it kind of odd that we're getting reports of all of these different explosions and nobody can claim credit for them. I think what's actually happened with those over inside of Iran is likely has to do with freaking Mossad working with some of the little, you know, resistance groups and movements that are over inside of Iran. It's too many at this point for me to just be like, oh yeah, total coincidence.
So,
you know,
so as they say in Russia, they very recklessly were smoking in a dangerous place.
Right. Yeah, that's what is happening. Recklessly smoking in a dangerous place. Yeah, no, that's not it at all. I think it's pretty obvious. Like what?
You what know do you I mean? Think about this Chinese military aircraft landing for the first time ever in history in Beirut this morning?
I did not know that happened. What yeah, military big, aircraft?
Chinese one of those like Alibaba AC-130s.
Really?
Or whatever they are. Yeah.
Oh, that's just fantastic.
Their version of it.
That's fantastic. I'm so excited.
There was a video of it landing, and then there was a video of it taking off, and it's like the first time ever in history that an official Chinese military aircraft landed in Beirut. And somebody in the comments, somebody was like, why do you think that happened? And I replied, because Israel allowed them to.
Yeah, that's the best freaking statement. So my question is, what the hell were they doing over there? It
looked like they were all offloading stuff. There's some photos.
Sure.
I'll try to send it to you. Let me see.
I'm wondering what they were offloading, though. That's like the big question for me, man. It always is, because I don't trust China and I definitely don't trust freaking Iran. And if Iran has, because here's the thing, you know, like China and Iran are freaking buddies. And Iran has been shut down from landing over at the airport inside of Beirut. And so now with this new report coming in of China doing it, it doesn't surprise me. That would be like seeing Russian planes land over inside of Beirut. Like it wouldn't freaking surprise me one tiny bit. You know what I mean? It kind of pisses me off that they even allowed that to happen, because you know they're doing something dirty on those flights. Very curious to see what the heck was on them. All right, where'd you send me the link?
Signal. I don't know. Where do you want me to send it to?
You sent it on Signal? All right, let me open that up.
Yeah.
Oh, yep, there it is. Chinese military transport aircraft landed at Beirut. I'll be damned. That came out a couple of hours ago.
Yep. That's just some wild stuff.
Freaking hate that sound. Good question. Well, it doesn't look like it's that large, probably comparable to a C-130, something of that nature.
So that's why I said the Alibaba version.
Yeah, the Alibaba version. Yeah, it's not a massive aircraft, luckily, so I don't think they're going to get that much off, but still, nonetheless, I mean, it's China.
Looks
so
like people are coming off of it, so it might just be like military personnel transport or something, like some officers. Or
maybe they needed to make an emergency landing and had, you know, they had a technical issue that needed to get corrected, and who knows, man. I don't know. There's a million different reasons why that plane could have, you know, been.
That's part of the flight tracker here. It was flown to land in like in Beirut in Lebanon. Like it didn't like make like a U-turn or anything on the flight tracker. It shows the flight tracker. So there's another little bit of this. There's also a flyby video here. I sent it to you now.
A flyby video?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's take a gander. Yeah.
It's a Y-20 transport aircraft.
Heading towards Egypt. Weird.
Yeah, weird. Cairo.
You know, kind of makes me wonder, because it ended up coming from that direction as well, didn't it? So that would be its flight path coming up over the Med, landing in Beirut, then turning back around and heading down. Did it land in Cairo afterwards?
I don't see. There is a video here of.
So the only thing that I can think of, if I mean, we'd have to go and check like the flight pattern of that. The only thing that I can really think of is something to do with like Palestinian refugees, or, you know, getting certain people out of the freaking country and who's going to be moving them around and all that other crap. International
Does
effort.
China have an embassy? In Lebanon?
I don't think it even matters, because they have over inside of freaking, I'm not even worried about that, you know? I would think that, number one, if they are doing something of that nature, humanitarian or whatever, Israel would make an exception in order to make that happen. And that, I don't know, man. I mean, a million possibilities at this point. Do I think it's crazy breaking anything? No. I think if anything, like the lack of news that's coming out of the region. Yeah. Strange things, but the lack of news coming out of the region kind of gets me a little bit antsy. I'm very curious because I haven't looked it up yet.
You want the reg number of the plane?
No, I'm not that worried about it, to be perfectly honest with you. More or less what I'm worried about is why Iran's so quiet with everything that's going on. Supreme leader hasn't really came out and made any huge statements. One priority is to establish relations with countries and expand our diplomatic sphere, such as Africa and Asian countries, blah, 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 blah. This is the Khamenei's message following the tragic events. In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful, indeed to Allah, we belong to him and we shall return. The tragic fire at the port has caused grief and concern. It is the duty of security officials and judicial authorities to conduct a thorough investigation to detect if there has been any negligence or deliberate acts that have caused this, and to follow this up according to regulations. I pray for God's mercy and forgiveness for the deceased, for the patients and calm, blah, 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 and for a swift recovery for those injured. I sincerely thank the generous people who were ready to donate blood. That's it. He's saying that it needs investigated. I saw over on CNN today, though, that they admitted it was up to them. He made that statement, or that it was their fault due to negligence. That statement came out at 3 p.m. on the 27th, so 2 days ago is when he made that statement. And today we get word that it's not a big deal, and Iran's being completely silent while a bunch of their shit's blown up around their country. You and I both know that that's not normal. I mean, stuff blowing up in Iran, 100%. Sure, it happens. 100%. But in succession like that, the way it's being reported and the way it's going down seems a bit off to me.
When the first one went off, we were on the phone and we started looking into that a little bit. And then I'm like, oh yeah, you know what? It's very, very possible accidents happen, you know? Like, they're not the most developed place. They could use old equipment. You know, accidents could happen. And then 2 hours later, another report comes out, like, of multiple fires and multiple things, and then there is this other one. So I'm like, yeah, I don't know how many accidents can happen within 1 week to that extent with that many angles of it being recorded, and especially in a place like that is currently that hot. So yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna sit here and say I can like almost positively tell you that it's work done by somebody like Mossad or something else. I can't, but I can tell you that it stinks of work from or not stinks, it smells of work of specialized group of people.
Well, we'll see what happens, man. Nothing new's really come out. I'm going to get to, like, while I have this lull, I'm going to get to digging into some other stuff. What I really want to look into, believe it or not, is the Attorney General's office over inside of New York, because I ended up finding out a couple other things about them. And I'm actually running cases that they have dismissed, or criminals that they have let go, things of that nature. I'm actually doing a pretty damn big deep dive into them, because there is some pretty shady shit, in my opinion.
Yeah, I am very, very happy that I was able to like get some, very happy that our community picked up on it so quickly that when that video was released, to right away tag and notify and message me to be able to like send it to you and like, hey, let's look into this, because you know what, this should not, this, like, I'm from New York, shady shit is not even like the beginning to describe what's happening in the legal system over there. So yes, this should be talked about. This should be looked into, and I am very happy to be part of the community that like isn't scared to do exactly that. Yeah, and it's really cool that what's his name, Angry Cop, just decided to like, there's a limit of how much you should be careful of losing your career or whatever, and what you could just like say, you know what, that's a line that has been crossed, that no matter what the outcome of it, it needs to be spoken about, it needs to be people need to know about it. And yes, I don't know how deep you're going with it, but as deep as you're going with it, I'm right here. I want to know everything.
Yep, I'm with you, man. Well, I'm going to dig into that some more and hopefully have a much better produced and better edited video on all of that today, which should, in my opinion, put a lot of this crap to rest, because, you know, the biggest thing that I ended up discovering, you know, looking across all of that, was that that particular judge stated that they knew the police commissioner as they were getting arrested by him, which is wild to me, and threatened numerous times. Not only did he threaten law enforcement officers who were actually doing their job, threatening them, he physically assaulted them. And
what department was it?
NYPD.
So FOIA request body cam footage?
Yep. I mean, that's probably going to end up happening, but it probably already exists, or I likely know where I can get it from. So I'm going to make that happen. But what I'm actually sick of, because the body cam footage I actually showed last night, and it does show him assaulting the police officer, that judge. And then it wasn't until, I don't know, probably 5 minutes later, that Rich ends up showing up on scene and detaining the guy. And he detained him and yelled at him because the guy was running his mouth, right? And so when it comes to like, you know, like escalation and uses of force and all of that other crap that goes into law enforcement, one of the things is giving verbal commands, right? And they just didn't like the way he talked to the guy. But that doesn't take into account, they said he violated the policy. Well, the problem with this is that the AG literally said in the report, the AG's office, I don't know if she's the one that wrote it, but the AG, for New York law, the AG is allowed to investigate these things, right? What the AG's report said is that the internal affairs at the NYPD did not review the freaking body cam, but they didn't investigate it. So why is it that the commissioner who was named in that report had referred it, that in particular, not to internal affairs, but to the Attorney General's office for reprimand? Why? Why would internal affairs look at that? That is a very small problem. Why would you want the Attorney General's office to look at that? that incident in particular, and the one before that where he called the dude a fat boy. Who cares? Who cares? That was literally his description. Was it polite? No. Does he have to be? No. When you're talking to, oh, it was Buffalo PD? Is that what I'm seeing?
Yeah, that's what I was looking at.
Oh, Buffalo PD, excuse me. Buffalo PD, excuse me.
It's New York still, but it's a Buffalo.
New York, but Buffalo PD, my bad. Buffalo PD. Okay, well, either way, I'm going to go back and I'm going to look at this shit because it's starting to really tick me off because there is no reason, absolutely none, why that wasn't looked into. None. Like, why? Why is it that this freaking state Supreme Court judge claims to know the commissioner, threatens the commissioner to the law enforcement officers who are detaining his wife, who is out of control and clearly intoxicated? He assaulted a police officer. He was not obeying lawful orders and continues to threaten it. And yet the incident doesn't go to IA. Instead, it goes to the Attorney General's office. Seems kind of sus to me. I don't like it. It stinks. Stinks of corruption. You know what I mean? So, all right, my friend, I'm going to go ahead and take off over here. Got a couple other things I want to get done. Thank you for coming in, having this chat. I'm waiting, just patiently waiting for things to freaking explode overseas. Patiently waiting to see Ukraine get a bunch more shipments of freaking equipment from the United States of America. Patiently waiting for Israel to launch a full-scale invasion on Gaza and really start clearing that sucker out. Or for the U.S. to just start bombing the crap out of Iran. All of those things should be happening in the very near future. Question just is, when the hell is it going down? So, thank you, brother. Appreciate you.
You too. Thank you. Have a great one. We'll chat.
Cheers. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining me for another episode.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.